Going back to your days, you know, playing for the Gloucester first team, what was the social life like?
Oh, yes, tremendous. We just literally, wherever we played, if we were on the bus, we'd have a few beer. I mean, them days, it was all about, after the game, you know, it would go in the bar and you'd have a barrel of beer or whatever, and sometimes we managed to squeeze two out of them, and it was a case of, like, the opposing teams coming there, you know, they can help themselves to the barrel. But after a certain time, I think it was Breezy, or one of the boys would go out and turn the gas off. It's all gone, boys. So as soon as they went, the gas came back on and we just carried on pouring. But no, that's the sort of things that happen. But, you know, you go away to Swansea or wherever, anywhere outside, whether it be a Wednesday night or a Saturday, as soon as we get off the game, we literally find the first off-licence, get in there, fuel up, just, and then sing song all the way back, just like local rugby, really. But I think it's a shame because it's gone out of the game. You know what I mean? These young kids haven't got a clue. I mean, I played for Spartans. We had a vet store, so I came down the other week, and all the young lads are in there just listening to us singing the songs and loving it. But they just don't, you know, it's gone out of the game, the way the game's gone. It's a shame to lose a tradition, but, I mean, we certainly had sing songs on the bus on the way back and a few fights, and, you know... Most of them were friendly ones, but it did kick off a few times. If somebody does, especially if you were to come back from Newcastle or somewhere like that, with a bus full of guys, you've got to travel about 6 or 7 hours. But it was good camaraderie between all the guys, and you'd have a game of cards at the back, and
best party pieces then?
I did hear about a party piece where Markham was involved, but it never happened with us. It was actually. Again, I don't know if you guys heard about it. When he got picked on the England tour, when he was in South Africa, apparently one of his, because he'd got his cap, they made him go at the skylark of the bus, across the top, and drop down in front of all the selectors. And I don't think he played for England again after that, Malcolm, but if you have an interview, you better ask him yourself. But that was a good one I didn't hear about. But Breezy was always good for a song, great voice, you know what I mean? So... And we had some good little tours. We, you know, we went to, used to play in a tournament in Den Haag, was it? Dioch, something like that. I remember Paul Williams, coaching at the time, and I think he had us up early every morning for the first couple of mornings. Like, you know, it's just too much, Willie. Anyway, I remember writing Jonah and Andrew Stanley got hold of him. They had his leg and they dangled him over the... over the railings, over the stairs. So the stairs had come down, he's dangling up there. Willie, how much training are we doing today? We didn't do a lot of that day, I can guarantee you. But that's some of the things that stick in your mind.
Who did you share a room with when you were on tour?
It all sort of swapped around a bit, to be honest, yeah. I mean, that tour in particular, I remember Jonah, Glenn and Pete together, and you walk past the room and they'd be just dragging you in and just filling you in and, you know, just giving you a good eye and then kick you back, the lights were off, little things like that, you know. It's just we changed around a lot. We didn't really have a sort of a, you know, guy you stuck with. It was like you just sometimes get in with who you wanted. And I mean, like I said, Lloyd Gardner quite often. I can remember going on one tour and his wife rung up to say, where is he? We didn't know where he was. Apparently they'd thrown his mattress out the bed, out the window, down in this, I can't think, we were down Devon or Cornwall somewhere on a pre-season, and so he was actually under the bush, took his duvet down and slept under the bush outside. So little things like that, you know, they all stick in your mind. So I'm just trying to think of a few more. There's plenty, I'm sure, if everybody started reading them off. But it was all just good banter, to be honest. The players all got on. I don't think there was ever any fallouts, and it was all Gloucester boys. You know, if somebody come in, like Rory McLean come in, he was more of a London boy, and of course it would be a big wind up and things like that, but it didn't take them long to get into the, you know, the way things were. And well, I imagine a lot of players that start, because people didn't really move around then, did they? But when they did come in for any reason, if they were, say, teaching locally, you know, they'd soon get to know what it was all about, and they certainly had a good time with the drinks after a game and stuff like that, really. And you know, you get a few dodgy drinks given you when they find out it's your birthday or something's happened or whatever. But no, I mean, there was nothing ever drastic, but it was all just good, all done in good fun.
Do you wish you were playing in the professional era?
Well, I did play in it. People say to me, you know, do you wish you were 10 years younger? And I say no, because I'd have missed all that. You know, I just not for one bit. I caught the end of it, for a few years, you know, didn't make any money out of it because you just got a living then because nobody knew what was going on. It was the early doors of everything.
Yeah.
And like I said, when I was at WASP, it was only a part-time contract. So it didn't really affect me in any ways like that. The training did because you had to up the ante because, you know, the guys were getting paid. And but no, I certainly, I wouldn't look back and say, obviously I was 10 years younger because I want to be in professional because I'd have missed all. I enjoy having a drink with the rest of the guys, you know, but I mean, I brought some lads in from South Africa when I coached Gloucester Road Boys. And I said, look, have a look at this lad for the Gloucester Academy. And I went down to St. Albans when they played Saracens. And I just couldn't believe it. You know, they're on there drinking their isotonics and stuff like that. I thought, well, this is just going to show how the game's changed. Because first we think we'd be doing is great, you know, couple of pints of Guinness or straight off to off licence and fill it with beer, you know. Yeah. And that's the way it was then. And you look at it now, you can see the difference. I mean, if you go back to, I said I got one of the videos of one of the games, I just couldn't even watch it. It was so slow. And, you know, the way the game's changed now is it's massive, you know. And but it's all changed for the good, I think. But at the same time, I definitely wouldn't look back on what I've done and say I'd rather have been 10 years younger and played in this professional era. I mean, when I got escaped, you know, when I got poached really to go from Gloucester to WASPs, what would my asking price be now if it was in that same scenario? I think I'd be quite wealthy, but, you know, that's just the way it was. But I had a great time. It was, you know, when I went to WASPs, they gave me a club car. So that was a great big bonus for you then, you know, going up and down. Fair play, they sorted me out with the job, but they had the right people in the right places. They said, what do you do work-wise? I said, well, I'm a brick there. Well, what do you want to do? I said, well, or am I going on the other side of the fence, you know, doing maybe into construction management? Next minute I've got an interview and I've got a job. So, you know, you've got to take your hat off the things. But then, you know, that's something Gloucester never really had, which it's always going to be difficult because, as you can look through there, most of the guys are either in the building trade or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they're hands-on people, aren't they? Whereas go up to London, they're all turning up with their brawlers and their the big city boys. And that's where a lot of guys got drafted, the likes of like Ben Clark and people like that. You know, they're in London now, still working in the city. And where he was, I think originally, someone like Ben was a farmer's son. So, but that's where the money was and everything. But I don't think it was about, okay, I mean, it wasn't a case of money when, you know, when I was playing at Gloucester. Just it was a good. You look forward to going to training. You know, that's what you wanted. So,
speaking of your brick playing. How many bricks have you laid, or has your company laid, actually, at King's Home?
We did all the block work. My company, I didn't do any. My guys who worked for me did them. But
well, I presume that's the way it was now, yeah.
But, yeah, no, we did all. We did Worcester as well, with the block work there. So it was
so
nice.
You did all the block work in the South Stand?
Yeah, all the new block work, yeah. All the bricks that, you know, go in the Walk of Fame, each of them.
Yeah.
We do that for them. It's nice to know you're going in there and, you know, you played there and then next minute you're building part of the new era, really.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's fantastically different, King's Home, isn't it?
It's unbelievable, yeah. I mean, it was sad to see it. I mean, I went there and the one that you're driving along and it's flat and you think, God, what's going to go up in front? But,
yeah.
You know, they've done a cracking job and he certainly turned the club around as Walkinshaw and hopefully his son will stay involved, which he said he's going to, and keep it going, keep it in the family, and you know, it's what we needed. Gloucester definitely needed somebody like him coming in, and you know, he did a tremendous job, and I'm sure his boys are enjoying his role as well.
Yeah, yeah. What have we missed out in this interview, Kevin?
We missed it with Tuth, I haven't got. That
oh. When did that disappear?
Well, I lost that, playing against Oral. Playing against Oral up at Oral, I can remember scoring a try. And as I dived over, I snapped my tooth in half. This is a good little story, actually. And I've gone to the change room after the game. Literally, the tooth is snapped in half. So I walk in, look in the mirror by the old change rooms, and this lady crops up. She said, "Is there anything wrong?" I said, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "I have to go to my dentist on Monday." I said, "I've snapped my tooth." She said, "Can I have a look?" I said, "Yeah, of course you can." She said, "Come into this room." I said, "Look, I'll just go see my dentist on Monday. You're going to be able to do an awful lot." She said, "Oh, my husband's a dentist." So I sat in the chair, this dentist chair, and he looked at me and said, "Your nerves are hanging out, everything." I said, "What? Well, I'll have to obviously go and see a dentist on Monday. Can you do anything to sort it out?" you've got these needles, the old needles where they screw up and they pull out and screw up and pull out and you're bigger and bigger to get them. He said, I've had these for 20 years, I've never used them. He said, now is my time. And to be fair, he took the nerves, everything in my face, got every tooth. And I got to the dentist on the Monday, and they said, who's done this? I'm thinking, oh no, what are they? What sort of mess have they made it? And whoever it is, they've done a cracking job. There's nothing left in there, and they've done a wonderful job. But I had an infection in my tooth, and prior to going away the weekend, I ended up having a plate, and I'm going to have an implant put in there, because that tooth eventually just, they don't last, do they? So that was one of the ones I lost. So I think half of it was stuck in my hand at the time, and the other half was trying to find on the floor. So there's that. We obviously talked about the red card, which I don't want to talk any more about that.
But you are famous for it. That's
It's just the picture, I think. So every time I remember rocking up at Old Boys when I went there as a coach, and the first thing, one of the lads come up and said, oh, look, come on, faint. Next minute, I'm going to change you, and there's a picture of me looking up at this red card. Sims is looking up with a big smile on his face. As Lawrence is looking, he's not too happy. But, I think it's, well, my wife says, no, are you ever going to do anything that doesn't involve rugby? And I said, no. But she knows what it's all about, and it's just something I can't ever let, you know, do. Like I said, I do the kids now, I love it. It's been my life, and it's probably going to stay part of my life, you know, for the rest of my life. Mm. Along with the rest of the guys that I was fortunate to play for and, you know, get involved with.
Do you have anything to do with Wasps still?
I am part of the ex-players, maybe like got a membership for ex-players. To be honest, I haven't been there for a long time. I went back and played a couple of games. I played in Lawrence's testimonial game. I actually did the old Cycle Slam as well when he did the Six Nations a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I did the Twickenham to Fishguard leg again. And that on that, Freddie Flintoff and Michael Vaughan and Colin Chavis, Josh Lucy, Harvey Thornycroft, you know, Ian Hunters, some of the guys, they all did it as well. So it was good experiences because you're back with old friends. Testimony games I played, like Buster White, I played in his. I have got involved with the Marines. My business partner's brother's in the Marines, and every year I pick a team and take a side to play. We've had two, this is about our third year, which is in 25th of June. We went down there, I took a Premiership vets team to actually play the proper Marines, which we lost the game 50 points to 49. You know, there was no setup, it was a cracking game. Uncontested scrums, because we're all too old to scrummies now. But what I did last year, I brought some younger boys in, and Phil Greening actually played outside half, and took Damien Cronin, he came down. But I took a couple of young, Dan Williams, the one lad who was at Gloucester, the young second round, and Matt Betty, who's playing for Worcester, he's at Cinderford, but he plays the odd
A game. Played quite a lot of A games.
That's right. Them boys come down and draft a few of them, and just because once they broke us, they scored. But as long as you've got a few guys like that, you know, they've got somebody to put them back. And we actually won the game 32-12 last year. Ian McGee come down, because believe it or not, all his family are all ex-Marines or Marines, whereas he was the only one who didn't go there.
Yeah.
So I should be organising that this year. I'm involved with the England Legends with Steve Boyle, so I organised a few games. We went to South Africa a couple of times. So I've done that, and I've been involved with the Lions Classics for the last, well, the 9 years I've done. I didn't play last year because the level is just, you know, I had a few guys watch on Christmas Day, but they're the likes of Van der Vesey's and then Justin Marshall playing, and guys still playing in Tokyo and stuff like that. You know, I'm 46 next week, and these guys are coming in after, like, just finishing. Well, next year, I know Josh Lucia's playing, I know Gregor Townsend's playing, Andy Gummersall. You know, these guys have just come into the professional game, and to come straight into that and play that level of rugby, for me, as a 45, it's a different world now.
Yeah.
You know, you can go on for a little bit and do a bit of a 5-minute impact, that's about it. But it's been a great experience, great trip, got some great friends out there. My stuff now is probably going to revolve around just come back from Amsterdam, as I mentioned earlier, with the Marauders. I went out there, been out there with the Wooden Spoon as well, so try and do a bit for them. You know, if you get asked, you go along and just be part of it. And I mean, the reason I went to Amsterdam was the first question I asked, who's going? Then I found that there was a lot of guys going that I'd been to Bermuda with and stuff like that. A few new guys. So that's where I went. It's just the social side of the rugby, yeah, which has always been great and has always been a big part of it.
Keeps you fit and gives you a nice tan, by the looks of it.
That's it, yeah. But, it's just getting the opportunity to get on these trips. You know, at the end of the day, I think I've come to the end of it. But I've had, like I said, I've had nine Novembers of our English winter, either be in Bermuda and with a pair of shorts on or be here. I know where I'd rather be. And I met some cracking people, you know. Martin Johnson had a big dinner out there, and I think the only winning captain for the World Cup was the Aussie guy, wasn't there. But everyone else was there, you know. So Francois Pienaar, he was there, he played. And that's when Johnson, I think he did a bit of a tour, and I think he went to Singapore, he'd done about six dinners, and he did one in Bermuda. And, you know, it's just, you're in a room for the greats, and it's nice to be part of it.